The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to yet another installment of this bastion of internet information known as the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight I have a few of the usual suspects, and I will start with our poor harried stat boy Josh Henniger, who hopefully will be still with us come the new year.
I'm not sure, but I was wrong about something. We'll get to that in a moment.
We also have the table tonight, one of our regulars who, I'm going to be nice. He is one of our regulars, and he has a fountain of information, even if sometimes it's a gushing fountain of information, Jason Block.
Yeah, I have already given my penance, and I'll just say it's been a very interesting week, and I hope to see where it leads.
And I believe, if he's not hiding in the booth, if he's got his mic on, we also have tonight the chief high muckety muck, Carl Schneer.
Gushing, you say, kind of like Flair's forehead?
Yeah.
Woo! Woo! Well, you just like touch it one time and boom.
I am not exaggerating. If this man sneezes hard enough, his forehead opens up.
He's busted wide. How bad?
So, yeah. Let's take a look at that really quick. I know that we did a special on Flair's 30 for 30. And I recommend it to those fans. You know, true wrestling fans already know about all the in-ring stuff about Rick. There's a lot of outside-the-ring stuff in here that you need to see in here. And actually I do have a question to Jason and Carl, because Statboy, I know you haven't watched it yet, and this isn't even a spoiler. I did a little reading around, and a couple people were kind of thought it was a little jarring that they had these little animated sequences. I thought they were a wonderful touch.
The animated sequences, to me, added to the documentary, not hurt it, at least for me.
Carl? No comment. Okay. I thought they were good. They were done in a more... structured isn't the word I want. It was very stark. Because they did, they talked about the airplane stories, and I was reminded of Rick's airplane stories from Storytime, and it was presented a little bit differently, but it's the same story. It really is the same story. Ric Flair and nothing but his robe and his socks, and maybe his shoes,
and a bit of a smile,
and a great big smile, and woo! Something he's been doing since his college days. Anyway, let's get to some current wrestling. So, do we want to talk about the internet breaking? Do we want to get in our mandatory TNA conversation? Do we want to talk about Europe? Where do we start? Is that
Josh, where do you want to go?
to be honest, let's go with what I would call the biggest story of the week. And it's not by a ton, because there's two really big ones. We're going to Power Struggle first. As in the after the United States title match with Kenny Omega. Or Kenny Omega. And who did he face? Dang it. Was it Trent Beretta? Give me a sec. Live research, everybody.
There you go.
He faced, yep, Trent Beretta, or now known as simply Beretta. Beat him for the IWGP, or to retain his title. And then the lights go off after his promo at the end. And a video shows up. Not the other video, which debuted Switchblade. That would be, oh dear, what's his name? Jay White, who was just in Ring of Honor for a while. But it's a very certain the best in the world at what he does. Chris Jericho shows up, and before you know it, he announces himself as the guy that will face off against Jericho at against Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 12, announcing himself as the alpha of professional wrestling. Alpha versus Omega.
They didn't need a catchphrase to sell tickets to this thing. And then there was, and with that, there was nothing left of the internet.
Yeah. I exploded in multiple places.
This was holy shit to me, because even though I admit I don't watch a lot of Japanese wrestling, Kenny Omega's name has been, you know, flying over the flying over the Pacific into the States for 100 different reasons, to the point that, you know, Jericho had been sparring with him on Twitter. And then he shows up. And Japan, you know, Japan trembles like an earthquake. Then they announce the match. Then there goes the rest of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a feeling a lot of people are going to get up very, very early in the morning and watch this happen as it happens.
On January 4th of next year. In fact, it's going to happen. Full English commentary with, I believe, Kevin Kelly and Don Callis. And hopefully properly translated backstage segments. Like they're already starting to do now.
Now, Josh, do you have New Japan as the network?
I wish.
Mm. Now,
I have to work.
Yeah. I know. Well, here's the interesting thing that I have to ask, though.
Okay.
Again, Jericho is like troll. Now, did you actually see the video, the actual video itself?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I have not, and I would like to see it. I mean, I can't watch it right this second, but, you know.
Well, here's a little couple of interesting tidbits from it, and Josh, you could back me up on this.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. One, this was not a WWE-produced video because he is now technically a free agent, correct?
Yeah, he's kind of always been a free agent, being able to do what he damn well pleases, and now he definitely will.
Right. Number two, he used the song Judas in the video. It was a countdown video set to Judas by Fozzy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, this is just respect back to WWE. I'm not working for you right now, so I won't use my WWE music. I got all my own, baby!
And the thing is, they were originally expecting this to happen on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Rager cruise a few months down the road. Not so fast!
Yeah, a couple people said no. I'm like, the fuck? You can't go on a cruise and wrestle and drink and party? Oh, wait.
Checking out the prices of that, I can see why.
This is one of those things that I don't know if I want to go on the cruise or if I just want to wait to read on it, read about what happens on it on PWI and TMZ.
Excuse me. Yeah.
There'll be more Ric Flair stories on that cruise. He's not going.
Woo! Yeah, the cheapest I saw for a single person was like $1,500. No, thank you.
For that, I'll do the performance center tour.
But almost $9,000 for the main suite.
Nope.
Oh, and by the way, happy birthday, Chris. You're 47. I mean, this is also the first time, and again, Josh, this was the first time Jericho started to look a little older. No?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He looks like a grizzled old vet. Kind of like Minoru Suzuki does this day and age.
Yeah, I think he's let his hair grow out a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Which really does sell that.
Good. Lionheart needs his mane back. Oh.
Sorry. Now, I'm going to tell you that Jericho is going to put Omega over, but they're going to go 45, and it's going to be awesome.
Dude, it's going to be a 45-minute draw.
I know. The thing is, I think it's only going to go about 25-30, and it will still be an Omega victory. No problem. It's just they will not give the third-tier belt that amount of time. 60 minutes or longer is only usually involved for the main event, which this year is Los Ingobernables de Japón's Tetsuya Naito facing off against the Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada for the main belt in a four-year storyline.
No offense to Okada and company, but Jericho Omega is the Shawn Michaels Undertaker of this card.
Yeah, beat that. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, follow that.
And trust me, they will. Considering the last few times that Okada's been going, he's played 5-plus-star matches. Same deal with Okada. Or Okada and Naito. Those guys will probably put together a match to rival Omega versus Okada's last complete year. A 6-6-1/4-star match.
I look forward to it. I'm gonna see. I have access on my dial, so I'll make sure I record it because I will probably be at work during the first hour.
Yeah, I got it too. It's just I gotta find it.
Wait, is this going to be live on Access?
That's my understanding, but I might be wrong.
I don't think so. I think Wrestle Kingdom 12.
I don't know. We can't look that far ahead because that's in January. Nope.
Though, by the looks of things, it will... Let's see now. Let me get a quick calendar peek from this last year's. It will probably start up on January 12th on Access.
Yes.
Okay, so if I want to see it sooner, it'll be by any means necessary. But if I want a hard copy...
Exactly.
Okay. No, that's perfectly fine. As long as it broadcasts here in some capacity, and I would guess the extra week is for translating the promos, because on the fly translation of anything live is hard. You know, live translation is hard. Don't let Google fool you.
Who you just say they're getting to do it this time? Kevin Kelly?
And Don Callis. Uh-oh. The same guys who've been doing New Japan stuff for quite some time now.
That I didn't know. I knew that Kelly finally left ROH, but I didn't know Callis was on board.
And Don Callis is looking to be going elsewhere. Segway time! To TNA!
Okay.
Do we have to?
Kinda, sorta. It is WrestleMania, after all.
Okay. I am doing this as a favor to my ref buddy, Brandon.
You're kicking and screaming, by the way.
Huh?
And while you're kicking and screaming...
Yeah. poor Brandon. I made a comment on the boards that was the only reason I even went looking for a stream for Bound for Glory. The first response was, do you think he had to pay for his own parking?
Oh,
yes. I believe so. Sure.
I believe it too. All the obviously with TNA losing all of their referees the week before BFG and a couple other people with one foot out the door, what were they really expecting? Now, I didn't see the whole show. I came in, of course, when do I come in? At the OVE match.
Ah, the Dayton match. The Bell Fountain match. Wait a minute. Am I giving away too much?
No, you're not, because Dave Crist. Full stop.
I've heard things about him.
I can tell you things about him.
And how he's a major league sack of hoo-ha?
Let's just say, for a man who walks around acting like a huge dick, I unfortunately know enough to say he doesn't need to compensate for anything.
Okay!
And I ran into him last weekend in Des Moines, and he was the last person I really wanted to run into while I was down there. I wanted to see Brandon. I wanted to see the former Solomon Crow. And if there was going to be a Christ in my presence, I was hoping it was Jake, because I love Jake. I love Jake to death. He's a wonderful guy. Dave, I don't know what his deal is. But again, he has nothing to compensate for. And he says random shit just to see what you'll do.
Oh, that type of person. Lovely.
Yeah. So, I got to see from there to the end. And to be honest, I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah, we were bored out of our mind. Because I was on Skype with you.
Yeah. This everything was in slow motion. And not the good kind of slow motion. Not the good, Jomo and slow-mo with Pyro. Even Jomo had to go at three-quarter speed against Eli Drake. I mean, I just wasn't... I wasn't engaged. I wasn't impressed. I felt sorry for Brandon because he had Jomo land on top of him. Or am I jealous? Anyway, actually, I feel sorrier for him getting slapped around by Del Rio after the match. Storyline or not, I'd be worried you'd catch something that itches pretty badly if you touched
on it. Oh! Oh! Damn. Okay. Sorry.
So, after this unimpressive show they were thinking, this awesome stuff is going to get everybody's attention, and we're going to be able to do more tapings in Canada, and where is everybody?
Oh! And what happens? Nobody shows up for the Monday night's taping. And Anthem hits the panic button.
They called a Canadian casting agency and they sent out an open call to have fans come to the show where they would pay them to watch this shit.
Set 50 to 75 fans for $50 each. And that's probably $50 Canadian, which is more like $37.50 American right now.
Dude, I make more money like I do. God, I make more money than that watching wrestling I like.
Which makes me wonder, what is the Canadian dollar to the U.S. right now?
Yes, look that up. I gotta know. Now I gotta know.
And by the way, I have a little bit of an update on the
39.39. Sorry. Okay. Is $39 $0.39 Canadian? Or whoa! Agmayers.
We are experiencing some technical difficulties. Shane, what's wrong with your microphone?
Nothing's wrong. He forgot to plug his headphones in. Ag.
Oh, how dare you?
Oh, how dare you! Stop tying your kangaroo down for sport, man!
I will as soon as your voice stops cracking up.
Yeah.
According to a source that I am reading right now, Jericho cleared the Omega appearance with the WWE. He asked permission, and Vince gave it to him.
Well, of course he did. I mean, it's not like he knows better than to piss off the hand that feeds him. And, like, let's face facts, it's not like he's under contract with WWE at the moment now anyways.
Right, but it's nice to see some sort of professional courtesy with even a veteran, a 20-plus year veteran of the business, going to a guy he doesn't even work for, but has, and says, hey, I've got this really cool idea for a match in Japan. I want to do this. Can I do this? He didn't have to do that.
He did not have to. And then he pretty much went, oh, you can do it.
But ask him
to do it. Oh, you lost. And Kenny will be like, no, I already did. Kay thinks, bye.
Yeah. Dude, match my Japan contract and the schedule.
Oh, shit. Kenny Omega just, he blasted WWE. Holy crap.
Blasting WWE since the end of 2006 when he got released.
Oh, yeah, no, he just... Like, but he's made himself seem more important than WWE. He said, no, you know what? WWE, they're baloney. Their superstars are absolutely baloney. There's only one guy, there's no one in that entertainment era that can match me. Nobody. And the only person that can, well, he was smart enough to come over here to New Japan and challenge me. And that's Chris Jericho, because he's absolutely awesome.
There is one other guy, though, that I would consider on Omega's level. Let's go to SmackDown!
Yeah, but you know, well, actually, no, there's three, possibly four other guys in WWE that can go toe-to-toe with Omega, but he's not going to mention them because, obviously, one was already in New Japan that kicked his ass, and the other one, he didn't even get a match with because he was too busy kicking me out of the Bullet Club.
So we were just talking about that, and congratulations, Shane. Your timing is absolutely perfect. You just missed us talking TNA.
What TNA? I thought, isn't it now just AAA? I mean,
no, it's a Canadian company.
They are a full-blown Canadian company now. They've decided they're going to go there.
Which is going to be a problem for people like Taryn Terrell, because that means you don't get a wrestle here anymore. Bye!
She threw in the towel before that.
Well, true, she couldn't have done it anyway because of a certain situation involving her ex-husband.
Right.
She knew the company. She knew the direction the company was in. Like as soon as, she pretty much left as soon as the whole Jeff Drunk scandal came out. She's like, okay, I know where this is fucking going. See ya. Bye. But yeah, I know we've said this a lot on the show, but that's just a message saying that Impact Wrestling has changed the name yet again. I know we've all said this on the show at one point or another, but we got to say it's starting to ring very, very true sooner or later. But I think this might be Impact Wrestling's last year, at least televised, at least.
Well,
how long have
I mean,
been saying that?
We've been saying that for several years, but I mean, if you've got to pay people to sit and watch your shitting wrestling, you are doing something very, very wrong.
Because the last time I heard about any of that was during Jeffrey Katzenberger's wrestling, Wrestling Retribution Project or the hot air balloon situation where they took away all the money. Screw you, Kickstarter people. Woo!
So, yeah. This is bad on so many levels. But TNA continues to surprise us, so let's see how much lower they can dig.
How low can you go?
Well, one wrestler that's already left TNA has decided that he's going to go over to WWE and maybe show up on 205 Live.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot.
I did forget that on my list. 205 Live is going to get a rock star.
Spud? Really?
Yeah.
He signed?
Well, not officially, but it's looking pretty darn likely after TNA done fucked up.
And
you done goofed.
You done goofed. So, you know, Spud's like, okay, you know what? I've done too much for this company already. Hey, I like Orlando. Can I come down there and you know, I'll go pee in a cup for you guys. And then when I'm done peeing in a cup, I'll grab a microphone and I'll come out and yell at Enzo for you.
Do you know what would be great? Rockstar Spud is British, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him and Gallagher?
Now, there is a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, God. So, you may... yes, him and Gallagher. Oh, God, gentlemen off. It's like, oh, no.
And you're starting to slowly see that they're trying to maybe merge the UK division with 205 Live.
I'm okay with this.
I would love to see that as a combined show. Most of the UK wrestlers are, you know, fit in the weight division. Of course, not Wolfgang, but
did Tyler Bate perform on 205 the other night?
Well, this was a one-off that they did since they were in the UK to get some of the UK wrestlers some extra work. Which also included Pete Dunne smacking the shit out of Enzo. Thank you. That is the only face pop you will ever get Pete Dunne. Enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen the comparisons all week with Fit Finlay and Regal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Here's the thing. I didn't think it could get any better than Pete Dunne kicking the crap out of Enzo. But, God, you internet fans have no chill. There's a meme currently going around of Enzo shaking Tyler Bate's hand, and they've got like little speech bubbles above them going, having Enzo saying, "How you doing?" And he's, and Tyler Bate saying, "Hey, I'm banging your ex."
Is that true?
Yeah, Tyler Bate's dating Liv Morgan.
Oh, damn. Okay.
That's okay. We have a built-in feud. I like this. But yeah, even with the 5 hours of content that we got on TV, a lot of stuff that happened at the house shows is probably going to come up in next week's program. So let me preface that. We know that SmackDown and Raw are, you know, pretty much at war with each other, and Raw thought they were ready for the next time SmackDown was going to crash the party. Kurt. Artists do not duplicate their work unless their name is Andy Warhol. So we got The Shield facing The Bar in the main event. Late in the match, we hear the New Day anthem. Now, first they piss the Shield off by essentially doing part of their entrance. Then they just start dogging on both teams. Bonus points for Angle screaming down the hall for the locker room, yelling, "Code blue, code blue."
Cobra, Cobra, code blue.
So here comes the locker room. And New Day all look at each other and go, "Psych!" What was it? Pump fake, psych, something else. They stride on out. And everybody was so, you know, worried about SmackDown invading, they forgot there was a match going on.
Bro kick, boom, 1, 2, 3, new champs.
As Dean's going, "The hell just happened?" And Seth's going, "What the fuck?" And Angle's like, there was a match going on?
No, Angle was saying to himself, "I just got played twice."
Yeah, I just got played again.
And Stephanie is going to rip him a new asshole this week coming up.
She'll do the old usual. She'll demasculate him and all that, and then Carol will be like, "Okay." And it's going to unfortunately going to end with him at the end of the month, if you know what I mean.
Well, this title change, along with one on SmackDown, has huge implications for the Survivor Series card.
I will give it to you right now if you want.
Give me a minute on this, because you guys don't have to watch this right now. I'm going to put a video link in the chat. But essentially, at another house show, the New Day gets ambushed by the Shield, the Bar, Finn Balor, and Joe.
Not you, Joe. Wait, not
no, Samoa Joe.
Not a Samoan named Joe, but Samoa Joe.
Yeah, but Samoa F and Joe. No, the other Joe. We'll see him on Monday. He's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But they beat the Bar and the Shield actually team up with Balor and Joe to beat the piss out of the New Day. And in fact, the Shield nominates Samoa Joe to be the powerbomb guy.
And he got the biggest face pop I've ever heard in my life. Everyone's like, "Yes!"
So things aren't that different for the Shield. It was a Samoan named Joe. Anyway, but after the dust settled with that, Rollins got on the mic and yelled at New Day. So, yes, the card will probably have Shield New Day as its own match. That is why the Shield guys were not put on the Survivor Series team. And why the Bar will be doing a couple of other things. You know, the Bar will be defending their tag belts against the Usos. Now, this...
No, they're both non-title.
No, that's the non-title.
That's non-title, I'm sorry. The Bar versus the Usos, which is heel-heel, but... The Usos
no
are
one of... gives a fucking shit, dude.
He ain't wrong. You are not wrong. So they did that little shuffle, but the bigger shuffle was on SmackDown. As the internet heaved a sigh of relief and then started bitching again. When the champ who runs the camp finally got in there, as a wild AJ Styles appears and challenges Jinder Mahal to a title match.
Woohoo!
Props to whoever made that Pokemon video. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki, for sharing that. That was awesome.
I love that kind of crap. I love that kind of crap. Mm.
But I think the reason why people were complaining after Styles won it was simply because of the fact, it's like they said, no one's ever happy. But I think it's just because people keep constantly overthinking shit. It's like, oh, okay, so Jinder's now lost the match, so you're going to feed AJ to Brock Lesnar.
And then
you've got the like ones that are like, all you people are so racist. You didn't like Jinder Mahal because he was an Indian. That's the only reason why you guys thought he was WWE champion. It's like, no. I actually grew to like Jinder Mahal as WWE champion because he was a good dick heel. Like Jason said last week, did he do some shit that was out of hand? Yes. But he still made it work.
Can I say this?
Go ahead, boss.
On paper, Brock versus AJ is better than Brock versus Mahal.
By a country mile.
Easily.
Yeah, cool.
Because Brock versus Mahal is how long will the match go on, or how long will Brock let the match go on before essentially Mahal goes home crying or in a body bag? Now, there's a better chance for, you know, hit or for the SmackDown side to win. Not a great chance, but still a better one.
We might actually get a match.
Yeah, instead of a...
Instead of, you know, punch, punch, kick, kick, suplex, 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 done.
Now, Shane, you said that some people said that Mahal was champ because of the color of his skin. Is that what you said?
To be honest, I don't think it was the color of his skin that really did it. I think it was because they were trying to untap the audience in India, but it didn't work, like, at all.
I disagree.
What I meant was, that, because obviously WWE had the whole, like, didn't have the Indian market, so they had to get someone to, they had to make an Indian champion to get the Indian market to come in, and Jinder Mahal was the only guy, and that's what some fans are saying. The only reason he got it was because of his nationality.
What?
I agree with. It was a market grab. Did it work? I thought it was a great heel because he made people hate him for reals. Some people said it was go away heat. Well, you know, see you next week. That I dug. He went over the line a couple times. Yes, he did. Is he a top tier main event level wrestler? Okay, define that, because, you know, if you're going by pure work rate, no. By look, absolutely. By his promos, very much so. And, you know, if whether it succeeded or failed in India, it was done. It was done as best as they could do it. And now that, you know, AJ has the belt back, the other bitch that's coming through is, oh, and then he's gonna get fed to Mahal and he's gonna lose it when they do the India tour.
And again, I say, so fucking what?
I agree. But unfortunately, you know, I am encountering more and more number threes by the day on the boards, and this is why I don't go to current. Screw you guys. I'll go talk ponies. And even that's getting worse, but that's neither here nor there. Oh, hello, Mikey.
Well, I have to ask, though.
Okay.
Do you like what they did with the shifting of the titles and stuff? Do you think it was a good idea, bad idea, or desperation?
I'm going to say... Oh, I'm sorry, Shane, did you have something?
Actually, I had something. I think, honestly, it's a good idea. Mainly because, hey, it's always nice to see things freshen up, especially since you want to kind of keep everybody in the Shield together. And with Reigns possibly not being on the team, I don't know yet. Yeah, because that could always change at the last moment. You know, Jason Jordan out, and then Roman Reigns in. They want to kind of keep the Shield together.
And that's why I think that they're going to do Shield versus New Day. They're not going to worry about having the shield on Team Raw.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea because we are so used to when they set up a champion versus champion match that belts are not going to change hands. So let's bring back that wonderful concept that they talk about but rarely use, the anything can happen in the WWE.
Yeah, I was actually a bit more surprised because we found out that this coming week we're going to have Sin Cara facing Baron Corbin for the US title. And here I was thinking that, Jesus Christ, Sin Cara got injured because of the way how bad his leg was bent.
I saw that picture. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But he got lucky, from what I heard.
It wasn't serious?
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to start calling Sin Cara Mr. Fantastic because he can bend his leg in any direction and not break the bloody thing.
It's better than Mystical. But yeah, and like I said, this little thing with the New Day beatdown, that's going to come up on Monday. I have every belief that they're going to bring that up on Monday. Something else they might bring up on Monday is Miz has decided to diversify, and he actually cut a promo in German.
Jawohl, wie geht's? Yeah.
Well, he started with the easy stuff. Du hast nicht.
You hate me. Curse you, Rammstein.
Well, yeah, he started with Rammstein, but he actually said a whole lot more than that, to the point that the German crowd started chanting, "You shut up," in English.
I didn't hear about this.
I came across the video. I was looking for videos from the house shows, and there's another one where James Ellsworth takes a locker room of diva finishers. You know, where the entire SmackDown women's division goes after him. Not just Becky, even Carmella gets in a couple of shots.
Oh God, this is what I'm saying. I hate the fact that house shows get all the good shit. Like we saw this past week on SmackDown, Carmella chucking a Shawn Michaels and just super kicking Ellsworth's head off. But the house show got the good part of it, where every SmackDown women's wrestler got a crack in.
So, but yeah, they did a couple of other things. I mean, they had one night where, you know, Kurt Angle worked with Ambrose and Rollins again, where he got, you know, where he got a "You Still Got It" chant during the match.
We also had the evil boss, Dr. Levesque.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. The fact that the evil boss wanted to play Shield.
No, not that.
What's that?
The indie appearance at ICW.
Oh, that's right. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is one guy who is okay with mentioning other leagues, especially if he thinks he can pinch a couple of talents from them. So he shows up at ICW. Did he have Dunn with him, or did he have Tyler Bate?
Yeah, he had Dunn, and okay, possibly Tyler Bate. I don't remember.
So, yeah, he went and crashed their party for a little bit. There was also a bunch of tryouts. About 30-something people got tryouts while they were there. So WWE got a lot done over this. So hopefully when they wrap up and they fly home, well, they'll be flying into Atlanta for Raw on Monday. So they might start a few minutes late just trying to navigate the damn airport.
Yo.
Hey.
I've been to that airport. It's not that fun.
No, it's not. The only thing I like about that airport is somewhere in one of the terminals, there's a Crystals. And even that ain't much. So, but like I said, they're getting a lot in. And yeah, the house shows, the international house shows, they love to do a bunch of crazy stuff for the fans because they know that international fans only get to see them once or twice a year in person. I'm going to backtrack on something here because I have Mikey spamming me right now.
God damn you, Mikey.
No. Mikey, well, since Mikey has apparently been kicked off of every single TNA board that might still exist, now he just now he doesn't have anybody to pick. He doesn't have anybody to yell at him about it. So, he's just chiming in. Did TNA? Did you not even tape enough stuff between Monday and yesterday that you've got to resort to filler footage from the early days of TNA at the Impact Zone with matches like Rude Young and Petey versus Sonjay Dutt, Amazing Red, and Hector Garza?
Yeah, we already established this. TNA is desperate.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, they were supposed to be taping enough, you know, they were supposed to tape a bunch of TV, but they still had to resort to archive footage. So I think it's amusing, and Mikey's comparison is, you know, WWE never goes back and shows world class footage on Raw or SmackDown.
No.
So I'm guessing that they're not using any of the new footage because they don't want to show the fact that there's only 15 people in the crowd. So let's get back to happier things. Or are they? Okay. On SmackDown this week, we had a throwdown between Sammy and KO versus the New Day.
Uh-oh.
At the end of the match, something was supposed to happen, but did not happen the way it was supposed to happen. And supposedly because of this, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were put on a plane and sent home.
The real question is, did this news come from, insert clip here, WORK, Work Radio, it's work, and insert.
See, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because the explanation to me was not, if they're just going straight on what happened on TV, which was essentially some post-match shenanigans. Supposedly, Owens and Sammy were supposed to go back in the ring and they're supposed to brawl a little more. But supposedly, you know, all speculation, Owens called an audible and him and Sammy got out of there. Because they'd already lost the match. Why would they go back in the ring and try to beat him up more?
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, from what I understand from Meltz, yes, that might be that is probably the situation, but nothing really is going to happen from this. And to be honest, the original reporter is, well, a guy who unfortunately has a really bad habit of, you know, straight up lying and making up stories for clicks.
Well, to this, I'm going to propose that it's a work.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, please.
And I hate to say it, but Justin Barrasso is the new Billy Body. If anybody recognizes that name, oh, God.
I'm kind of happy I don't, judging from your reaction.
You ever heard of a site? Oh, okay. I'll write the name of the site in chat. That's where Billy Body is from, and unfortunately, he's scum of the earth.
Ah, there's your problem. Okay.
That site is nasty.
Yeah, okay. SI is one step away.
Yes, sport, I'll fucking say it. I don't care. Sue me, I don't give a shit. Man, sports cater is about as reliable as Dave Meltzer. That's being honest.
What?
That's an insult to Meltzer.
That is a huge insult to Meltzer.
Dude, he went on air and said, oh, we're probably never going to see Sammy and Kevin Owens again because of this.
Huh?
Really? Really?
Wait. What?
Yeah. Dude, go listen to it. When he did his podcast, he said, due to this, we're probably that, like, Sammy and that could be back next week, yeah. Or what? Maybe never.
It'll be next week.
He's like, maybe next week, maybe never. Who knows? I'm like, really, dude?
No, this is still Vince. While true, Vince has also been really known for being, you know, petty as fuck. But the thing is, these are guys who actually matter. This isn't Titus O'Neil.
And to a point, this could be taken in a storyline context, because if you want to frame it in kayfabe, after the match, Sammy and Kevin, you know, blew up backstage, and Shane got mad and told them to go home. Continuity.
Yeah, perfect continuity.
So they get sent back. They're going to bitch about it on SmackDown this week, and early wild card prediction, they're going to screw Team SmackDown out of a victory.
That could be very possible.
Well, it's Team Raw and SmackDown are just going to screw themselves, because if reports are correct, Jason Jordan's going to screw Raw and Sammy and Kevin Owens are going to screw SmackDown, so it's going to be a draw.
No, I think Raw's still going to win, because I don't think Jason Jordan can screw it up that badly. He's got the dork stuff down. Just turn him heel already.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of schooling, before we continue,
we're not
this,
doing that kind of a podcast.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
No. That's okay. Today, I just found this out. Do you know today is actually one of the most historical anniversaries?
Yes.
Yes.
In wrestling history?
The day we are recording, November 9th, is the 20th anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob. That which launched a thousand stories, a thousand theories, and probably a few dozen careers.
Mm-hmm.
We know Earl Hebner's still thankful for this.
Yes, but yeah. This is the only reason Earl Hebner managed to keep his job for another 15 years.
And I don't think we will ever know the true truth.
the honest to God truth of what's going on, or what was happening that night, is only going to be known by Vince, Sean, maybe Hunter, and Earl.
Mm-hmm. If you believe others that say it was like this is the most massive work in wrestling history, then Brett would know about it too, but we don't know.
I don't know. I just know that Brett has never budged from his stance on how he was treated. He has reconciled with Sean. Stapway and I were there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no matter whose side you're on with it, this is what really launched the evil boss Vince McMahon.
Uh-huh.
And the Attitude Era.
This is what brought the Attitude Era together. Brett was going into into what he thought at the time was a better situation. WCW was paying him major money, and Vince gave him his blessing. You know what? Yeah.
But just do it my way.
Yeah, I just need you to drop the title, and I want you to drop it at Survivor Series to Shawn Michaels. And that was the bone of contention. I believe Hunter was in on it, because he was pretty much Velcroed to Sean's hip at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Earl was sadly in on it and couldn't tell Brett but I have very little sympathy for Earl since he managed to screw up his job for life about 10 years ago. And now he is completely unemployed because he realized the TNA wasn't going to pay him either. So, but the significance of this event, did it really elevate Sean? No, he didn't need any further elevating. In fact, he started fading into the background as Austin started taking over from that following WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, WrestleMania 14, that was the Austin era. This was when Sean's back was still fucked up at this point. Right? Only 4 months late, what was it, November 97, he was gone December, January, 5 months later. Right?
Yep, with the back injury.
No, the back injury was legit.
Right, it wasn't just the back injury.
Oh, no, there was a whole lot more going on, trust me.
Yeah.
Brett thought he was going off to greener pastures, but WCW, in true WCW fashion, screwed all of that shit up.
That and one accidental kick to the head.
I'm even talking before the thing with Goldberg, because I think at that point they were trying to apologize to Brett for the fact that he was pretty much sitting around doing nothing for a year after he'd signed the contract.
Yeah.
Short of an appearance, and then in 99 they finally started using him, which unfortunately, you know, they started using him probably because of what happened to Owen. And he, you know, while they couldn't really do a tribute show to Owen because it was the competition, they threw Brett a bone and him and Benoit put on a 20-minute clinic in honor of Owen. Brett was working his way up into the title picture, and in December of 2000, Goldberg kicked his head off. I'm sorry, December 99?
Yeah, that sounds a bit more accurate.
Yeah, because I was at a house show where I saw the rehearsal for this match.
Yeah, because it was like pretty much during the decline of WCW.
And with Brett not being able to perform, although I think they did have him perform despite the fact he had, you know, recurring concussion syndrome. but from there, you know, this was Sean, what happened to Sean was pretty much karmic. If indeed he was doing this out of malice and not necessarily out of business, this is what gave Triple H the opening he needed to establish himself in the main event.
Yep.
The Vince McMahon character is now one of the, you know, one of the most recognized. You don't even have to be a wrestling fan. You know, you think Bad Boss, Vince's name comes up. Then Roger Goodell.
Very nice.
John Cena wasn't wrong.
Oh, speaking of him, before we go back.
Yeah.
That's a nice little segue. Yeah. He was named, because he's no longer the special guest referee, rumored to be, he's now the final member of Team SmackDown.
You know, when they made the comment about the toughest referee in the business, I was like, ooh, are we actually going to get a formal call-up for Drake? Then somebody told me Cena. I'm like, no, no, fuck no. You have a deathmatch survivor referee in NXT who has been through more hell than John Cena would ever imagine in his wrestling career.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. I grated my back into hamburger in Logan, Ohio with JC Bailey. God love him. God's got him. Mr. I did death matches in Japan with a smile on my face.
You're absolutely right. That moment is one of the, if not the seminal moment, one of the seminal moments of the Attitude Era. Would you call it the?
It sure seems like it.
It was a nice starting point, but I think the thing that really kicked off the Attitude Era was the very first stunner to Vince McMahon. Because like everyone said during the whole Attitude Era documentary, who didn't want to hit their boss back in the day? And Steve did it on a regular occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, you there? Is she away?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No, what happened is I apparently one of my sidekicks over here decided they didn't want me on the podcast anymore. You're not supposed to sit on the mute button. <She
said. laughs> A feline mute button?
Yes. Daphne sat on the mute button.
Feline silence. It's like, silence!
Silence, pet me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. But as I was saying, Austin turned beating up his boss into a hobby, and that made him a legend.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Austin McMahon is what made the Attitude Era, but the screw job was a huge turning point. Because that established the boss we all wanted to beat up. Because before Austin was stunnering him every other week, Bret Hart spit in his face, bragged about the competition on his show, and backstage punched his lights out.
Okay, well, here's the thing, and hey, I don't know if you guys will agree with me, but I think it's safe to say the Attitude Era started when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall left for WCW. That was the starting point for Attitude Era, because if they don't leave, NWO is never formed. And then Vince never creates more edgier TV, because he has to compete with WCW, whose ratings are skyrocketing, because his two former WWE workers, who everyone still thinks is working for WWE, that they're invading WCW.
And actually, they touched on that recently. Before they went on the European tour, they were actually in Virginia. And Road Dogg was interviewed about the day that they went down there with the Jeep. So, you know, if Kevin Nash and Scott Hall didn't leave, Vince wouldn't have had any impetus to create new stars.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who got their break in 97, 98 wouldn't be where they are now. Or wouldn't
even. Absolutely.
So, the on-air Monday Night War started when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall showed up on WCW.
Mm-hmm. That was the first album.
That was 96, right? Or 95?
Yes, 96. It was like March of 96 when they showed up.
And even though that this was a Cold War that had been brewing since the mid-80s.
Ever since the infamous Black Saturday, if memory serves. Back in 84.
Yeah. And it just, you know, it just continued to escalate, but most of it was off camera and, you know, people were diehards one way or the other.
Which, by the way, full circle, was touched on the 30 for 30 documentary.
Mm-hmm. The point that, you know, you had Ric Flair, in NWA WCW, which was more focused on wrestling and was aimed at an older audience, versus WWF, which was aimed mostly at kids. But you know what? Those kids have kids now.
Mm-hmm.
The more things changed, though, the more they remained the same.
Exactly. Because people who like, you know, down home serious wrestling probably would not like the current WWE product, because at times it is a glorified cartoon, and that's why I like it.
Except they have their own version of the NWA.
It's called NXT.
Yeah. And with all due respect, sometimes Triple H outdoes NWA to the point where next weekend they're stealing one of their biggest gimmicks for it.
That's it, because this was the only way he was going to be allowed to do it, because Vince won't let him do it on Raw. Come on, Pops. This was huge. People still talk about this kind of match. Oh, it takes away 500 seats. We're not going to put two rings out there. So, all I ask, Hunter, is that you have figured out, you have done some rehearsals with the production side of all of this. I have watched a War Games, and it is a nightmare to film. So, I want to see it happen. I will thankfully be quite comfortable in front of my computer watching it. And I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. And somewhere, you know, Triple H is going to be backstage grinning like an 8-year-old. Like he usually does after he does something silly like play with the Shield. Or show up at somebody else's Fed. Or, you know, anything that Hunter does nowadays. I swear, he's probably one of the happiest people on the planet right now.
He wasn't happy on the documentary last night, I will say this much, though.
He had every right, because he, you know, his influence, his idol, the man who got him interested in wrestling, I really, you know, and I fully believe this, was Ric Flair. And he's been a Ric Flair merc forever. To the point that, you know, his terrorizing character. He had that platinum blonde hair, even if it was a little shaggier. He wasn't going to see his hero go down in alcohol fuel flames. You are fucking going to rehab. And if you do not go to rehab, I'm going to fucking drive down there and I'm going to drive you there. So...
And by the way, you didn't finish the sentence.
That's right. And I'm going to stay in the car and I'm going to watch you go inside and I'm going to wait till you come back out. Because he can get a whole lot done in the car while Rick's in rehab. You can get on the phone, pop up your laptop, make some phone calls, sign some wrestlers, talk to his kids. Send out a tweet to make the internet roll, burn a little bit. I don't know how you can hate this man anymore.
But if it's not him causing mischief, it's his buddy Sean causing mischief down in NXT. It's like, Jesus.
Why? What's Sean? What did Sean do down there? Has he done something new recently? I know that
Sean's now doing like little videos with Johnny Gargano and makes it seem like he's either training him or being a gym buddy or a tag team partner for him.
Was Gargano in the I Finally Got My Revenge on the Undertaker short?
I have no idea.
Okay. There is a short video out there of Shawn Michaels on a rifle range shooting Undertaker figures.
Oh, jeez, dude, no!
The only thing that would make that more perfect is if Mark Calloway himself walked into that video and goes, "What are you doing, dude?" It's like, I'm shooting The Undertaker. It's like, okay, cool. Can I have a shot?
Yeah, because he's a big gun guy.
Yeah. I would like it even better, though, if everybody just fell into character the moment Sean realized who he was talking to. We have one of those wonderful epileptic fits that Sean can have.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Johnny Gargano, he's going to get his ass kicked by Pete Dunne.
Oh, poor Johnny. Poor Johnny.
See, okay, can people confirm this for me? Because I'm getting confused. Is the match with Pete Dunne happening at the actual War Games event or at a live show beforehand?
No, that's at the War Games event.
Okay, I hope so. I want to see this.
Well, what I'm saying, I'm getting confused here because, like, weren't there already, like, on the match card, like, I've read the bloody War Games match card so many times. I swear they said Johnny Gargano was having an abs contest with Shawn Michaels, hence the reason why I say Duphosity from Shawn as well. Because I don't think Shawn Michaels has had abs ever.
I'd have to go back and look. Let me get back with you on that.
No, this is the card as we have it right now. Oh, feel better. May I go over the card?
I'm taking a look at it real quick. Yeah, it looks like that it's an actual match, although they could still do the abs thing. They could still do the abs thing, Shane, and have Pete Dunne just come down there and just sock them both. Because, there's no wrestling going on.
I don't see Shawn Michaels taking a bitter end for some reason.
No, he's just going to get punched. Pete Dunne's just going to punch him, and then he's going to bitter end Gargano. And frankly, why are we having an abs contest when there's no Finn Balor or Tony Nese?
God, the way it's going, friggin' NXT War Games should have a fatal four-way abs contest. Tony Nese versus Finn Balor versus Jinder Mahal versus Big Show. It's like, who wins?
The fans. If you go by popular fan vote, Finn's going to take it for sure.
And I gave you the Survivor Series card, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it weird, though. Some of these boards and that need to really update their stuff because it's still saying that for Survivor Series that the Raw Women's match still has one person to be determined, but they've got a full team.
No, they don't.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but after the match with Alicia Fox, did she not say that both Sasha and Bayley were on the team?
Nope.
No.
Oh.
She only said Sasha. That's why Bayley was looking around so confused.
Ah, okay. That cleared everything up. Well, oh, okay. Well, if rumors are true. Sorry about
that.
If the rumors are true, because we know a certain black-haired woman has been training down in Florida for the past couple of months. Now, she was rumored to be coming back on SmackDown, but she did get drafted to Raw. So, what if Paige takes the last spot on the Survivor Series women's team?
I think that'd be great. You know, but what do we do with it now? What do we do with Bayley?
Well, they haven't been doing much of Bayley for months now, so.
But yeah, no, that'd be kind of cool. If she shows up, great. Let's see what happens. As long as she's straight. I don't care about her about her significant other, regardless of their status.
This week,
he had an all right promo at Bound for Glory. Like, you could definitely feel the emotion behind it. But yeah,
a lot of people thought that was the cocaine.
Wow.
Oh my!
Ain't wrong.
See.
Oh my!
Oh, welcome back.
Hi, boss.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I'm actually looking forward to Survivor Series. But yeah, this War Games card is definitely not one to sneeze at either.
No, I will. Yeah, I will find time to watch this. Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
Yep. Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan, which just got made this past week. We've also got, as we said previously, Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano, and this has been confirmed for the WWE United Kingdom Championship. So, match of the night right there.
Mm-hmm.
the Fatal 4-Way for the vacant NXT Women's Championship match. Ember Moon versus Kairi Sane versus Nikki Cross versus Australia's own Peyton Royce. And, hold on a sec, whoop, had the card there for a second, and I lost it. Nope, there it is.
That's fine. I'm just sitting here looking at pictures of Lars Sullivan, who is, you know, who's the freaking grandson of Bruno Sammartino, I swear. Or Gorilla Monsoon, take your pick.
And then we have Bizarro World match of the night, which is going to be Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream.
Be amusing. Sounds amusing.
It's very disturbing, like, especially when, like, let me say something about Patrick Clark real quick. Mm-hmm. He's taken this Velveteen Dream thing and he's run with it. I mean, he's such a creep that he weirds me out more than Goldust did back in the 90s. It's like, Aleister Black, you will say my name. It's like, okay.
Creepy.
Then we have, for the NXT Championship, Drew McIntyre versus Andre Cien Almas with Selena Vega in his corner. Which should be a good match. Almas, for me, has definitely improved this past year. And then our main event of the evening, the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong versus Sanity with Alexander Wolf, Eric Young, and Killian Dane versus the Undisputed Era of Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly in a War Games match.
Jesus. Just insane. Insane. This next weekend is going to be awesome. Awesomely full of wrestling. And Monday...
In the words of,
go ahead.
I was going to say, in the words of Bobby Roode, glorious.
And Monday and Tuesday, when the guys are still just getting adjusted back to America time, it's a go-home show, and it's going to be full of doofus.
Ah, yes.
It is going to be so amazingly full of doofus.
Actually, I think SmackDown's going to have an awesome segment on it. I'm calling it now. Shield Invasion.
And if it's not just the Shield, we're going to get a cross brand brawl.
Schmoz.
I want the giant empty the locker room schmoz. I want everybody fucking fighting everybody. Draft Day 2004 all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought you would have meant more ECW One Night Stand 2005.
No, that was fake. That was more fake than what we're going to get.
No.
Except for Meanie and stuff.
Except for Meanie. The JBL Meanie stuff, but we don't talk about that. No, I'm talking, you know, the fact that Raw really hasn't done anything back at SmackDown. I agree with you, a Shield invasion at minimum. And frankly, it would be even funnier if Shield invaded SmackDown and was just stealth, you know, stealth murking people the whole night. Or they'll catch Roman and they can catch him, but they can't contain him. They might catch Rollins and they can't find Dean all night.
They can't find Dean because he's the master of disguise.
Exactly. And God. Such an 18 show with the Shield right now. Oh my God. Anyway. Hi.
So I'm sorry, I just had like a massive segment go through my head of doofus.
Speak.
You have Dean Ambrose, the master of disguise, versus Tyler Breeze, the master of disguise. Tyler's doing his whole janitor gimmick trying to find Dean Ambrose, and Dean Ambrose is there dressed as the cameraman going, "This idiot can't find me."
No, if they do, if you really want it to be doofus, Dean has to do his master of disguise stuff on Fashion Files. And not even the Ascension gets it. Because normally they're calling the fashion police out on their competence.
Actually, speaking of SmackDown, I'm hoping that this isn't the case. Hoping this is just a once off. But it seems like WWE might have given up on the Bludgeon Brothers gimmick already.
There's talk. I did see
because a couple things. I was going to say, because this past week on a house show, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan just came out in their normal gear to Luke Harper's old entrance.
That's a shame.
Well, Luke Harper is also making an appearance on that new show, Damnation, by the way.
Yeah, I remember they talked about that on SmackDown.
Yeah, this is no offense to Eric Rowan, because Eric Rowan is a great wrestler, but if you've got Luke Harper doing this whole Damnation thing, now would be the perfect time to strike the iron while it's hot and just have him do a singles run, either at Baron Corbin or whoever, I don't care.
I'd like to see Harper on his own, because I was really interested in what they were doing with him for a little while when he was in the Intercontinental title picture, and he was killing it. And I just don't know what it is about Rowan that they're having trouble with.
The category I've put Rowan in is the man of a thousand masks, and that's so he's pretty much a new, his name just escaped me. Muda, thank you.
Okay.
He's a new Muda because he's got all these different masks, and I think that's the direction you should go at with Rowan. Make him like an attraction like that. He's a creepy bastard with a lot of different masks.
We could make it work. I think we've covered everything we need to cover. If I've missed anything, speak now or save it for the plugs.
Well, I wasn't here for the earlier stuff, so
we opened the show with the Jericho Omega stuff, so
yeah. Oh, I came halfway through that.
So you really didn't miss anything?
No.
Go ahead.
No, no, the only thing I've got is supercards, which we normally say for plugs anyways.
Yeah, so I think that's probably the direction we're going to go in. So let's go ahead and just get that soap sold. So, hey, Stat Boy.
Yeah?
You got anything?
Sleep.
Working on it. Shane, you mentioned supercards. What do you know?
Yes, supercards. Well, we've got the new update that will be coming out very shortly, which I'm looking forward to. I'm just going to be intrigued to see how this new concept they've got works.
And if they're going to be giving us more D.Va cards so that we can actually make it work, because you need 10 good D.Va cards, and I'm like, you don't give me enough D.Va cards. Although, if I get Lana in RTG this week, it'll be my first SummerSlam 17 Pro female.
Well, yeah, well, she, well, yeah, she's up for grabs in the Road to Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this month, as a bit of a shake-up, instead of you winning a possible WrestleMania to SummerSlam 17 male card, they're doing a female this month. So good. At the end of the month, the 28 days, you get one female card, either WrestleMania 33 or SummerSlam 17.
I'll take either one because all that's left, the remaining five cards I need to get the complete 33 deck are all female. With my luck, you're going to give me one I already have. Carl, how's your vocal cords? Do you need Jason to do all the promoting, or would you like to talk about it?
I could bring up one thing.
Okay.
We're going to record it, I think, tomorrow night. The BS Big Show, we're going to be doing our mid-season awards edition.
Okay. So,
we'll be giving our awards and, of course, looking back at Week 9 stuff as Week 10 starts tonight as we record this.
I've heard...
I had another safety dance.
Right, I'm also trying to see how bad the Seahawks uniforms are. And I heard they are horrible.
They're lime green. Ugh.
Lime green? Yuck! Okay.
No. That's WLAF colors. Get out of there.
Oh, wow. Boy, you old school. Holy crap.
Hey, I got to see an Orlando Thunder game in person. I enjoyed it.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, we got that going on. I'll segue to Jason now. You're about to end the video game discussion for the year coming soon.
Yes, and of course, that thing that we don't talk about. I didn't say it. We'll be talking about that on the video game podcast. We Love to Interrupt had WLTI had more stuff going on. We talked Jeopardy Tournament of Champions and a lot of risk, a lot of reward, the whole nine yards with that. Touch 'Em All is going to have its season finale, I believe, this weekend as well. And we are going to talk about the death of Roy Halladay. And we're also going to talk on a couple of, and we could say it here, a couple of fucking douchebags in Boston.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even I know about this. You don't do that shit.
No. No, you don't. Just saying that Halladay deserved to die because he was a dumbass, fuck you. Okay? Seriously.
Yeah, trust me, they've gotten a lot of negative feedback on that, so expect to see termination papers for those two in the near future.
Hope so. Absolutely.
That'd be up to CBS Boston, of course.
Yeah, well, and we're going to talk about the on-again, off-again suspension of Zeke and all that good stuff.
Update, it's off again.
Yes, and Goodell may be sued by Jerry Jones. Who knows?
I want in on that one.
We will be talking about, and of course, I need to write the script and record the JRWFFL with, I love saying it, Los Ingobernables. I actually am one of the few people who can actually say it, which is kind of fun. and of course, Red State, Blue State, the panel with Gordon Pepper, and I'm actually doing a Red State extra as soon as I'm done with it. It's a friend of mine who suffers from fibromyalgia and chronic pain, is basically being restricted by the archaic and incredibly strict drug laws now because of the new quote-unquote opioid crisis. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. And I think it's going to be a very interesting documentary, interesting podcast to listen to. So I'm really looking forward to doing this one. So, and it's a very good friend.
You'd be your first Red State, Blue State, anything in about a year.
Well, yeah, I mean, put it to you this way. We're going to get back right after the beginning of the year, but Jim and and Gordon and I are going to try and rebuild it as well too. So, but we will talk about that later. But of course, you can listen to all the programs here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, pretty much everywhere and anywhere. So, yeah.
And Jason, you've got one thing that you've been doing also.
What's that?
You've been preparing your hostile takeover of NAWC to kick Nikki out of her chair.
No, I am. Hey! Absolutely not. I would. Okay. Okay. That was my final kick in the gonads. I appreciate you again. I am seriously genuflecting at everyone here. So.
Genuflecting.
Not genital.
Hey, I didn't say nothing. Keep that away from me.
Keep one away from you.
Why? Where did I start?
First of all, the only person who is genital flecting is a guy by the name of Ric Flair. If you saw the documentary. Yeah. And,
holy shit. No, I did see it, and I still don't believe it. There's no way, dude. 10,000 women? Hell no. No.
Dude, he's lowballing
that. We talked about that.
Literally and figuratively. Hi.
I'm saying 10,000 women. That's a bit of a stretch.
40 years, man. You never know.
Bring up the Wilt Chamberlain stories, too. He allegedly slept with that many women.
Too many jokes. Too many jokes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wrestling fans of all ages and preferences. Next week, the NAWC is celebrating their 500th episode. How the hell did we get here? We've done it with a lot of great talk, a lot of great comedy, a lot of great people who may or may not be with us anymore. And we're going to miss you, Jim, and I miss you, Matt. Seriously. Every time I see Roman, I think of you, man. We're going to celebrate 500 episodes with not only reviewing the doofus of the WWE, but hopefully with a handful of guests, including a few regulars. I am currently in talks with a certain Michigan promoter. I am in talks with a former client of mine. I am still trying to get a hold of a certain chicken who in the Ohio, Indiana area who should be on my show. I'm also looking for one of our Canadian contestants who was a regular and needs to come back as well.
I'm just bummed I couldn't get my one. I'm like, God damn it.
It's all right, man. It's all right.
It's only because she's too busy traveling the world at the moment, son of a bitch.
We will get her. We will have her on the show when we can get her on the show. Don't worry about that. Besides, we're going to have to figure out a good start time for it because we're going to need all the time we can get, given how many other guests I might be able to make show up.
Might even have to split it into two or three days worth.
Yeah, could be. We could like sort of piece together the interviews and do the regular show at the regular time. That would actually be the best way to.
I'm pretty good at doing that.
Seconded. I'm okay with this. Just give me some dates and times, and we'll put it all together. And the taping will be on the 16th, and it will hopefully be posted quickly. That reminds me, Statboy, are you going to be available next week, or do we have to call your
co-host? As long as everything goes right, I should be there.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was going to be you or VRM, because next week is Pick'em's week.
Yep, and of course, 501, well, that will be, I don't know the schedule for that yet.
November 30th or December 1st?
Yes, that would be the one.
Okay.
Just don't forget we take a week off after.
Well, we don't, yeah, we don't record on Thanksgiving, because I don't have my, I won't have my equipment with me.
Most of you get to celebrate, I get to go into hell.
We feel for you every year. Don't get me, we really do.
I'll check on you, man.
Okay, please do.
So, but that is in the future. Right now, we've got a show to finish. So, for Bad News Beeman, for Statboy Josh Henniger, God love you. For Jason Block, who has been totally humiliated through the entire evening just because he has the greater gift of gab. Yep. And Gab.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And for our chief high muckety muck, Carl Chenier, who would love to borrow some of that gift of gab, my name is Nikki Heyman. I also have the gift of gab, but now I'm going to shut up because the show is over. Have a good evening.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.